Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Now, dating from the 1960s, Teen Challenge is a network of faith-based centres in the US, the aim being to help teenagers struggling with various issues, such as addiction. But as Rachel Aviv has been writing in The New Yorker, there are serious questions about their methods. She joins us now on News Talk. Good afternoon, Rachel.
Hi.
Could you start by describing for us, what is the work of Teen Challenge? Ostensibly, what is it? How is it they're trying to help people?
Teen Challenge defines itself as an organization that treats life-controlling problems. So that is often drug addiction or alcoholic tendencies, but it also includes a wide array of behaviors like depression or suicidal feelings, or in the case of younger children, it can be, well, the organization is, both has centers for adults and for children. And so at the centers for children, some of them were sent there because their parents thought they were too sexual or because their parents thought they were too angry. There were many people who told me they were sent there because their parents disapproved of the fact that they were attracted to people of the same sex or dating people of the same sex. I talked to one person who was transgender who said her parents sent her there because she didn't like the way that she was presenting in terms of her gender. So it really seemed to me that some people did have serious behavioral issues, but there were also a lot of people sent there because their parents just didn't know how to deal with them and kind of wanted them to become a different kind of person.
And in terms of a lot of the issues that you mentioned there, possibly all of them, Christianity underpins a lot of this, or all of this.
Right. So, yes, it's a Christian organization. It's affiliated with the Assemblies of God Church. And the idea is that these life-controlling problems will be cured through kind of leading a Christian life. So the solution to mental health distress is found in, you know, prayer and studying the Bible. And, you know, it's one thing to do that for adults where the adults have sort of consented to using this religious approach to resolve some of their issues. But I found that for a lot of the youth that I talked to, first, many of them had been adopted. And second, you know, they might not have been religious. Their parents were, but they were placed in an environment in which really the only way to move through the program and graduate was to sort of profess that they, you know, believed that Christ could heal their problems. Mm.
So even in situations where somebody would have, say, a drug issue, then there's no actual treatment. It's just prayer and the like.
Right. So they have Christian counselors, but many of the people I spoke with said that like mental health wasn't treated at all as a medical problem. So people would ask to see a psychiatrist or ask for medications, and that just wasn't within the purview of what the program could offer. People also described like a great deal of shaming around their depression, like that their depression was seen as a sign of weakness and of not sort of believing in Christ in a real way.
Now, on one, at least one account that you've given, this is of Emma Burris, sounds awfully like kidnapping.
I mean, in hers, it is not unusual. A lot of the people who come, a lot of the youth who come to these programs are picked up often in the very early hours of the morning while they're sleeping. A transporter, there's a sort of niche industry called juvenile transporters. And the parents will hire these people. They'll pick up the kid in their bedroom, say, get dressed, follow me to the car. The kid often has no idea where he or she is going. And then, you know, for Emma, she arrived at Teen Challenge. She didn't even know what this thing was or where she was. And the idea of running away seemed impossible because she didn't even know what city she was in. And of course, like it was a lockdown facility anyway, so she couldn't have run away if she'd wanted to.
And she was 15.
Right. She was 15.
When a 15-year-old that is woken up in the middle of the night by some man she's never seen before, then bundled into a car, driven a long way and then locked up in a place, that what happens then? Is she are they talking to her about whatever issue it is that her parents perceived she had, or you know, what was the routine for her?
Well, when she got there, she was stripped naked and made sure that she wasn't carrying any drugs. But she's also, the students there are forbidden contact from their parents for the first. It varies. But in her case, it was at least 2 weeks she had no contact with them. And then she kept breaking little rules. And so then her contact with her parents was totally blocked for longer periods of time. But the strange thing is, you know, I talked to people who said, like, what's my treatment plan? What's the, what are you, or what's the system you're going to use to help me with my depression or whatever it was? And really the only like treatment plan was to sort of follow the program and follow the rules and study the Bible and pray and be a compliant student.
Right. And as I understand it, the young women had to refer to themselves as little sisters.
So the new intakes would be called little sisters, and they'd be assigned a big sister. And in Emma's case, she wasn't allowed to talk to anyone except for her two assigned big sisters. And she realized shortly after getting there that she was pregnant. So she wanted to tell someone she needed a pregnancy test. She needed to do something about this. But she literally wasn't allowed to speak, and she tried to tell her big sisters, and her big sisters like didn't take her seriously. So in order to even tell anyone that she was pregnant, she had to like break a serious rule.
Right. Okay. And boys refer to as others as a slight bang of Handmaid's Tale of the language around that.
Yeah, it definitely was. Like certain words were off limits. People were so afraid of, you know, if you try to run away, you'll have 2 months added to your program at many of these centers. So people were so afraid of even talking about like taking a run that they wouldn't even use the word run. It was just like language was so highly controlled, and you weren't allowed to talk about like the past life. So like no previous boyfriends. People's ability to actually have conversations was so tightly monitored and controlled.
Now, you did mention that Emma then realized she was pregnant, and this is possibly the most disturbing aspect of this. If a young girl is pregnant and sent to Teen Challenge owns her baby.
I mean, I don't know that they would phrase it that way, but I talked to a number of women who had been there between 2002 and 2012. And during that time, these women had really remarkably similar stories, which was that they realized they were pregnant. They were at Teen Challenge and they essentially had no option or felt they had no option. In part because, you know, some of the blame probably goes to their parents as well. Mm. But basically they were told they had to carry the baby to term. Teen Challenge is not a place that allows abortions. And that once they carried the baby to term, they were doing this wonderful sacrifice. You know, they were giving up their baby and blessing another family. And, you know, one of the women I spoke with said she tried to revoke the adoption, but her movements were so controlled that she couldn't actually mail the form that gave her the legal right to revoke it. You know, these women gave up their babies, and 2 days later they were back at Teen Challenge and no one could talk about what had happened. So like just the trauma of being forced to give up your baby and then not having any space to even speak of it was something that, you know, has lasted their entire lives.
Yeah.
Since then.
And legally, and be interested to know if this varies from state to state, is it if the person is younger than 18, then the parents have the right to give the child up for adoption?
You know, I don't know quite how that dynamic works. What I do know is that you can challenge your adoption if you can prove that it was done under duress. And one of the women actually did try to challenge it, but she missed the like legal window for when you can make that claim. You know, I felt that there should have been like lawyers advising this woman. I was surprised to realize technically Teen Challenge is the guardian of these women. But like in Emma's case, the lawyer who was representing the family that she gave her baby to, Emma, who was 15, was under the mistaken impression that this was her lawyer. And so obviously, like, her legal rights had not been communicated to her in a way that she understood.
Mm. And Teen Challenge, I must say it's the first time I've heard of it, but it's extensive across the US. Mm-hmm. There's 1,000 centres.
And across the world too. Many of the centers are adult for adults, and these are where adults can go check themselves in. And the adults programs have similar rules to the youth programs, but one of the strange features of the adult programs is that people need to work often at least 40 hours a week. And so they're doing all this labor, like they're, you know, working in a warehouse, or they're doing car washes, or they're doing like road work or whatever it is, but they're not getting paid. So I talked to one former director at a teen challenge who basically quit because he felt like it was a kind of like labor trafficking to make people work for free in this way.
Mm-hmm. As I understand it, Teen Challenge has received a lot of federal funds and state funds in the US. Does it receive monies from anywhere else?
I mean, it receives a lot of money through donations. And you know, many of the people that I talked to said that they would be going to churches. For instance, Emma, you know, after she gave up her baby for adoption, she was told to go to churches to sort of tell her story, her dramatic story. And she was, you know, a very charismatic, compelling person. And at that time, she was really like diving into the tell of how wonderful it was that she gave up her baby for adoption, because that's what she felt she was supposed to say. And so people would then donate money that goes to Teen Challenge. Mm-hmm. But yes, Teen Challenge was embraced by George W. Bush, both when he was the governor of Texas in the late 90s and when he became president. And so he specifically, you know, made it so that there was a lot of funding for faith-based programs that didn't need to require the same sorts of regulations that other government-funded programs would.
Fascinating, a disturbing story. Rachel Aviv is a staff writer with The New Yorker. Rachel, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.